Welcome to an inspirational message by Pastor Harold Weiss, Senior Pastor at Little Falls Christian Center.
Father, now, in the name of Jesus, let your word and the Holy Spirit confirming your word be the prevailing creative force that works within our hearts, changing us more and more into the image of Christ, our Lord and Savior. For in you do we trust, surely, financially, but in all other realms of existence. We thank you, Lord, for you are the strength of our lives, our hope, and our glory. You said, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall honor me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. You may all take your seats. I'm a speed along to say an opening statement here. You know, we in the beginning of the year, we take up all these prayer cards, these ones. They look like this. Here's one that's filled in. And every Saturday morning with the prayer meetings, we're praying over all these cards. Well, they're piling up, and they're piling up. And Saturday, I gave instruction, I want to take them to my study to pray over these people one by one. So if you still want me to personally pray over your need by your name that you write in here, just don't attach a folio to read because it takes time to work through these things. And I will pray, and as I then go, it'll be passed on to the relevant district pastors and the pastors indeed to pray for you. Just let you know about that, and you'll understand this morning as we go to the Word of God. I want to go to Isaiah chapter number 59. And may I say with that, tonight, today is actually a very significant day. Very. Extremely influential. So much so that it influenced my life. Very much so. Made me think and think again about many things. And then the Lord spoke very clear to me about certain things. So tonight, I will do a prophetic survey, particularly concerning this country and what the Word of God says concerning us living here in Africa. Because people want to know, where are we heading? Well, what the Lord reveals is what we'll share, except there's a certain vision which I'm holding back because I spoke to more about it, but will not share it unless I get the release and the clarification from God. So, in the meantime, after this explanation, then tonight, and with that, the prophetic survey of this year of South Africa now. Right. Now, in Isaiah 59, we have a carbon copy of what's happening in South Africa. I've said it many times, but I don't know if many people paid attention. Many times I've said, you see South Africa in Isaiah 59. And I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but for example, you see is, I read from, let's say verse 14, the whole chapter actually. My goodness. Justice is turned back and righteousness stands afar off, for truth is fallen in the street and equity cannot enter. Trustworthiness, dependability, faithfulness, reliability, and so forth cannot enter. So, truth falls and fails, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey for intimidation and all sorts of evil, and they get taken out by wickedness and wicked people. Then the Lord saw it. The Lord saw it. And you will find out today some things. And it displeased him. Concerning even our nation, for sure. That there was no justice. And he saw that there was no man. And he wondered that there was no intercessor. Everybody say intercessor. This is critical now, very critical. Therefore, His own arm brought salvation. And that word salvation is the Hebrew that also speaks of Yeshua, or the Savior, brought the Savior for him. And his own righteousness, it sustained him. He put on. Now God puts on the armor of God. And I won't read much further than this. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head, and so on and so forth. Now, we go back again to this verse 16. He saw that there was no intercessor. In the, what we call the lemma, in terms of how the word actually appears in Scripture, it's the Hebrew word in this case, mavgia. And the root of all of that is paga. Now, here is where things change. For since the beginning of me, and while I say me, is because I'm teaching many people and have done so both here and internationally. In the beginning of me, I saw the word paga, which is like the root of mavgia. I saw it to mean to fall upon and to strike out against. So for me, the definition of spiritual warfare was found right there. You've got to do the battle. And so with this being said, in the days of I see that from the earliest days, they were here from the very earliest days, we would do wrestling ourselves. And you would take a demon, I tell you what they would know, how many demons we have cast out. And I mean, nobody, they would know how many demons we have cast out. Pastor Tiens would know how many came out of people of all sorts of, that you sometimes think, I'm getting tired of this. There was just a wave of it coming in, and Satanism and occultism and stuff. So we looked at that, and to me always the word mavgia or intercessor was the word that meant to strike out. And you know what? In particularly the early days, here's a demon that's manifesting and so clearly manifesting, you know it's nothing else. That thing talks to you in a funny voice and it speaks all sorts of words. And we would, you know, grab hold of somebody and there'd be a string of people around me and they're all supportive. One guy gets tied, the next one takes over. And you hold that person by the head and you go, till your hands are sore. But then, what is truly an intercessor? Because what we call academically etymology, in other words, the history of the word and how it's been used since ancient times. So I covered much material with much revelation. And we see that, if I look at the notes here, originally it meant to strike upon, to strike back. It's like boxing, almost. In a good sense, but it is to assail anyone with petitions. That is the true meaning that sits behind it. It gets better. To urge. And when to entreat with someone on behalf of another, in other words, to intercede. What I found out, still researching right here on this spot, is that, are you listening to me now? Say these words for me. The battle belongs to the Lord. Now give the Lord a praise offering right now. Now, if we have the Bible, we understand that several times the Lord says, you'll hold your peace, for the battle is the Lord's. The battle is mine, says the Lord. So, 2,000 years ago, Jesus took care of all of that. When he, and I use this from Colossians chapter 2:14, that whole section there, disarmed Everybody say disarmed. That means you strip down their armor, strip down their weaponry. Disarmed the principalities and the powers. Who did that? Everybody say Jesus. Triumphing over them through his victory and making a public spectacle of them. In my name they shall cast out demons. Who disempowered the devil in the first place? Secondly, I was led to think some real deep things, and I'm going to take you deeper into intercession. And you're going to get somebody now, you know, just come, you know, come to Sister Stupid, who's teaching on intercession and spiritual warfare. And here we are, we're making a big battle at Yichanons, and we're just doing all of this stuff, and it means absolutely nothing because the battle belongs to the Lord. Give the Lord a praise offering, everybody. Hallelujah. Then we must know what is intercession, because it impacted my life. I mean, I've been here, what's it now, from 1963, I'll already be a Sunday school teacher, up to this time serving the Lord. That would give me, what's it, 61 years to now. 61 years of teaching and whatever with the Lord. And after 61 years, take another look at this. And I began to realize that there's something that I must do, and then there's something that God will do. Because the battle belongs to the Lord. It's as simple as that. Now, the meaning of this word, intercession, paga, if I use the root here, is therefore, like you get in 1 Timothy chapter number 2, verse 1, I therefore exert that prayers, petitions, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for those who are in authority. We talk about South Africa here, and tonight for sure. Those categories of prayer, we find 11 types of prayer in the Bible. And what we do find is that after my resources have told me considerable discussions and analysis of this part of the Greek, and the whole thing about intercession has taken place through many, from the time of Augustine, all the time they were busy with this and to find out what's the best way to go. But you got to go to the root of the word. Now, what we find is that in this specific petitions, intercessions have been made in or of a request for someone else or something from God. I go on. Prayer, intercession, I quote, just like this here from my notes. Intercession is prayer of behalf of another, and naturally arises as the instinct of the heart of mankind. What you find is that God is not only busy with the individual, but God is also busy with the corporate. In other words, when I do intercession, now we're going to see how the Bible deals with this, and it just folds open. The word intercession is it's like a scroll that rolls open. It took me 61 years to understand exactly how this thing is working. Thank God for the Hebrew here. Now, God is not merely individual, but he's social. He deals with people. And God so loved the world, and a new commandment I give to you, that you will love one another. And then faith works by love. Galatians 5, 6. I quote the verses, but okay, let me just say it that way. Faith works by love. And then, therefore, because the love of God compels us, we see somebody in need, and we pray for that person. And what are we busy doing then? Intercession. Intercession is going into the presence of God, of somebody who knows the business of prayer, praying to the Lord that he would intervene. And the battle belongs to the Lord. The only thing the devil wants to do with you is to keep you out of prayer. That's all. hear me. Now, I wonder if you look at these things, what the Bible has to say, and men and women of the Bible that were really the intercessory giants of the earth to this day. From the days of Enoch the prophet. Intercessory giants. And I always thought it's just fighting. You know, it's just like, paga, you know, just going here and striking out and this, that, the other. But there are so many very important words, particularly if you go into the Greek side now, and you go to what Jesus was saying when he spoke to the disciples, and the Lord was saying these words. He said, what things soever you bind on earth shall be bound in the heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Matthew 16, Matthew 18, and so on and so forth. Now, if you take that in the Greek, in the tense of the Greek, in other words, you look at that construct there. It says, what things soever you bind on earth shall have already been bound in heaven. Whatever you allow, whatever you loose on earth shall have already been loosed in heaven. In other words, here's the essential element. Everything and every promise that is loosed in this book, you can loose through faith towards other people. Give the Lord a praise offering. Secondly, every word that we pray of something that is forbidden of God has already been forbidden in heaven. You just bind it on earth to confirm the word of God. You do what? You confirm the what? The word of God. So the battle belongs to the Lord. Amen. And we've got to get that thing clear. It's never been our battle. As we get people, particularly in this time now, you know, they fall over the place. I find it on one hand, fascinating, another place, disturbing, other place, you know, I could say more. All the prophecies that are running around now at this hour. And everybody has got a little egg to lay. And I'm looking at it. Do you know that on the planet, and I say it, excluding, on the planet, there are very, very, very few genuine prophetic office people that I know of, if I looked out over the planet. Here comes Jimmy Stupid and he says, I'm a prophet. And he's had a vision. Or Sister Doolittle. She's now got a prophetic word over the world. Give the Lord a praise offering. Amen. So then, what about these prophetic prayer giants? Do we see in Scripture, this book, do we see in Scripture that Abraham took out his sword and his bow and arrow and his this and the other. And he got out and he walked under the starry night and then he began to fight intercession. On the contrary, Abraham was in a covenant with God. We are in covenant with God. As the body of Christ who has defeated the devil, Hebrews 2:14, he who knew no sin became sin for us. Another scripture, and that now, that we might be called the righteousness of God, we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Moreover, because the children are partakers of flesh and blood, Hebrews 2:14, likewise, he also partook of the same. Now listen, Hebrews 2:14, that through death he might destroy the works of the enemy. Actually, it says to bring it to a zero effect, literally, to bring to naught. Though these words of Jesus, behold, I give you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all of the power of the enemy. But what next? And nothing shall by no means harm you. Well, my axe bong for spook. I'm one of those. This is a very simple question. You're part of the body of Christ. How many of you are part of the body of Christ? Good. And if you didn't do, would you rise and I can pray for you quickly? How many of you know that you are filled with the Spirit of God? You're a temple of the Holy Spirit. Let me see both your hands in this case. Right. Here's the announcement. You have authority and you have power. You can bind whatsoever has already been bound in heaven. And if you read this book, you find out exactly what. You don't need a word from Prophet Jimmy Hanfist. Or what do you say? Hamfisted. He doesn't know what's going on. What God says no is bound. You just confirm the word. What God says yes is bound, is loosed actually, is therefore allowed. And I can pray. And if you listen to people that pray, you hear them praying all sorts of things. They just think. They don't confirm the word with their intercessions. Intercessory prayer is prayer. Now let's look, and I mentioned one already because I can mention more now, and I'm going to. We look at, for example, the patriarchs. 4,000 years ago, I stood next to the tomb of Abraham. No, actually, I'm wrong. I didn't stand 4,000 years ago. It was from 4,000 years ago that he was buried. I'm definitely not 4,000 years old. I promise you that. But I stood there, and I realized at that moment, this place, this spot where Abraham was buried, we're talking 4,000 years ago. I am standing here looking at 4,000 years ago. Now, what did he do? If we look very carefully at the word, then we see how God is doing, or Abraham is doing intercession. Now, for someone, Abraham said to God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before you," because he had another son called Ishmael, as we all know. And then in Genesis 20 and verse 17, so Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech, his wife, and his female servants, and they bore children. Abraham did intercession to God. The battle belongs to the Lord. The action belongs to the Lord. The answered prayer, manifestly answered prayer, belongs to the Lord. Dealing with demons, it belongs to the Lord. No matter what we pray, it belongs to the Lord. If we are, you find these prayer giants of the Bible, that they're all in a magnificent, listen to me now, relationship with God, and that God hears their prayer. And they get up and they pray according to, "Lord, you said, therefore I say." God says, "Put me in remembrance," Isaiah 54, verse 20, 56. Now, I'm not exactly sure of that scripture, but the location. But he says these words, 46:23. He says, "Come, let us reason together. I, even thy, am he who blots out thy iniquities and will remember thy sins no more." Then he says, "Come, let us reason together." He says, "Declare thou, put me in remembrance. Declare now, you, put me in remembrance." Again, we may put God in remembrance from the book of Malachi, where the Lord says, "Put me to the test." Another place, "Put me in remembrance. Bring me to remembrance." If you take to the word, the Lord, you see Moses prayed that way. You see, they all say, "Lord, you said. Therefore, we agree with that. Now, Lord, we pray that you fulfill your word." God comes back and he says, Jeremiah 1:12, he says, "I watch over my word to perform my word. What I have allowed is written here. What I've disallowed is also written here." And if you bind, you're simply agreeing with something that has already been forbidden by God. In heaven above, to be manifest on the earth, it is an expression of faith towards a specific target when you pray for something. Now, here we see, for example, if I just look here, at this part, one of the most important parts to see with Abraham. I'm not going to get too deep in it because time is going to chase me. Genesis 18, verse 23. So Abraham came near and he said, "Would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there were 50 within the city." And so he goes on. This is Sodom and Gomorrah and Abraham that's now saying, "Lord, will you destroy the righteous with the unrighteous? The guilty with the not guilty. The people that are in right standing with you." And so he begins to say, well, then 40, then 30, then 20, and so on. That he says, and he, as long as he prays, what gives him the entrance to that kind of prayer authority? His covenant. What gives us the entrance of our prayer authority? The covenant of God, the covenant of the Lamb. Brishit Chadashah. That's where your authority comes from. What you forbid, devil, you're a liar. It is written. Therefore, forbidden this. And I pray in accordance with that. Now start thinking about South Africa. Think about South Africa. Because I spoke from Isaiah 59 and 16. And of course you go across to Ezekiel 22 and 30. Where it says these words, God sought for a man. He found, he was looking for a man that would stand in the gap for all the land that I might not destroy the land. So what am I doing here with intercession? I'm saying, Lord, the following thing according to your word or things are bound, but I pray for the land. And so Abraham prayed at that time for a city and God saved the city. Well, he saved the righteous Lot and his two daughters came out. Lot's wife turned around. It was forbidden, but she said she's going to break what God has said. No, she's going to do that. She turned into a salt pillar in the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. And Lot and his daughters came out and the rest is now history. What did Abraham do? He prayed. And when he prayed, God saved a city. There is another thing that he did, and I've actually got the verse here where Abraham prayed. Let me just go there very quickly. And again with Abimelech, the old story with Abimelech there. It's in Genesis chapter 20 in case you want to go there. "Now therefore restore the man's wife, for he is a prophet." No, notice here the word prophet. He's a spokesman, a true spokesman for me. He must pray. He must pray. He's in right standing with me. He's in covenant with me. And he will pray for you and you shall live. But if you do not restore her, know that you shall surely die, you and all that are yours. And no evil shall befall you. As the body of Christ, we are extremely blessed. We need to come into the know-how. We need to, it takes years to realize these things. But the battle is not mine. I have to submit to God. And as I submit and yield, Romans chapter 6, yield therefore your members to God unto righteousness. I submit and I focus on my relationship with God. Then what happens? The same thing. Out of that righteous call out to God, God answers with prayer and the war takes place in the spirit. When we pray for South Africa, it takes on a new meaning to me now because I realize, being busy with this all week long, I realize more and more as I'm going along, I'm saying, okay, all right, Lord, pray for the nation. The thing is, the righteous must call out to God and say, our nation. You'll see it tonight. You will indeed see it tonight. The action of intercession for the country has got to take place. Then, and there has to be that prophetic element, I call it prophetic prayer. That action takes place from here, like at Little Falls, for example, we do a Saturday morning prayer meeting. On the 20th, we're going to a 40-day fast. Well, not a fast, but a prayer program every day of the week. That program will be dished out to the people and given to the people to understand how it works from the 20th. Then, with that involved, we're praying. And then when it comes the day before the election, we start praying. Go through the night and we stay in prayer. How? Unto God, so that God would take the action and save South Africa. Give the Lord a praise of it. It's just simple like that. Now, having said that, I'm going to get a move on because time catches me and I've got 5 minutes. I'm going to say, Abraham prayed and God saved those people out of that city of Sodom. Now, let's take Moses. And I think one of the most beautiful places in the scripture we'll find here now. And we see how Moses was doing intercession after the golden calf, where he said, Lord, blot out my name then out of the book of life. He went into a second 40-day fast after the golden calf. What was he doing? He is praying a very, very righteous, living, self-disciplined man of God, righteous as you get them from the old covenant. He is a man that would disappear. They said in the Bible, it says that he disappeared in the Hebrew scripts of the old Talmuds and the new Talmuds and the Zohar. If you look at those resources, it says a cloud came and sheltered him, and they don't know where the Lord had buried him. So they wrote that. But at the same time, we know that Moses reappears on the Mount of Transfiguration. Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration. And according to what I see in the ancient Jewish manifesto or their scriptures or their Talmuds and Zohar and Midrash, you go to all of their old resources, I see how that Moses disappeared then. Nobody knows where he was buried. Then the devil comes and he says, well, he made a big argument, you know, for the body of Moses. Well, you can decide for yourself what happened there, but I do think that he actually died. Personally, I think. There might be particularly Jews that would disagree with me on that one, but okay, I personally think he most probably had died, but God took care of the rest, and he was taken to heaven. He manifests, re-manifests, and it's also him and Elijah that will manifest on the day of the Armageddon, when Moses, in that time, the two witnesses of Revelation chapter number 11, those two witnesses arise, and you got Elijah and Moses getting up to the people that followed Moses so carefully all these years of their lives, even now in Israel. Of course, amidst the Christian, you get the Judaizers. They want you to start acting like a Jew and do the things of a Jew. But you know, we know that we're part of the non-Jewish population if you don't have the genetic bloodstream, so to speak, of a real Jew. So now they want to, and then of course there's a whole thing on that. Acts chapter number 15, the apostle sorts that out. So if we look at Moses, in chapter number 32, Moses pleaded with the Lord God and said, Lord, why does your wrath, from verse number 11, burn hot against your people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians speak and say, then he brought them out to do harm to them, to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth, and so on. Now, I'm not going to, because this is one of the most beautiful, beautiful, beautiful acts of intercession that is in the Bible. Daniel chapter 9, number 9 is another one where Daniel is praying for the nation. Moses prayed and God saved a nation. Abraham prayed and God saved people out of a city of severe, severe immorality, the Sodomites. So, what we find is, he is a prophet. He will pray for you. If you don't, let him pray for you. If you don't give the man's wife back, Abraham, now, then great harm is coming upon you and everybody that's with you. You're gone. You're finished. Now, tell me something. Abraham had a covenant with God. Now, we have a covenant with Jesus Christ by the power of the blood of Jesus. Now, if somebody wants to do things to you that's really harmful, and you call upon the name of the Lord. When we pray, intercession takes on a new. You stand with God based upon your relationship. You enter boldly into the throne room of grace. And I need to say something about that relationship, maybe in the next time I'm with you, that you would understand about that relationship, how sensitive it is and how powerful at the same time it can be and actually is because of what the Bible says about that. Not what I say and give it to you in scripture. What the Bible says. The battle belongs to the Lord. When you're praying for something or your children or your family or your husband or your wife or your workplace against all sorts of things or the nation of South Africa, the battle belongs to the Lord. Now, I've just given one or two examples there, but it goes right through the Bible. You find these people, like Daniel, for example, and they pray, Lord, forgive. While I was confessing my sins and the sins of my people, then the angel Gabriel stood and says, Beloved Daniel, I have now come to reveal this to you and teach you what will happen now. For from the going forth of the command unto this time, the following happens. He gives him a sequence, what's called the Daniel 70th week of Daniel. He unfolds it, takes a quarter of a three quarters of an hour to explain that properly to people. And you talk about, now Daniel is praying for the nation. What happens to them? Even Ezekiel is exactly, he's a compatriot of the same time as Daniel. Both of them sitting there praying for the nation. Guess what happens? God brings them back and rebuilds the city. So, when you pray for somebody, when you go to God as the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that is accessible to you. Go to God and know, if you pray for your husband, you go to God for your husband. If you pray for someone, you're busy doing intercession. Intercessions, petitions, and giving of thanks, prayers that you find in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and 1. Know today that the battle belongs to the Lord. It's not for us to go and put up a show. The battle belongs to the Lord. Give the Lord a praise offering. Let's stand and give the Lord a praise offering. Father, today, before we get to the thing tonight, as we begin to expose prophetically certain aspects of our nation's future, today we say, the battle belongs to you. The things we have been struggling with belongs in your hands. You will answer prayers if we pray according to your word. You will allow things to happen in accordance with your word and the Holy Spirit, and the word is in agreement. Therefore, Holy Trinity, Almighty God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, help us to pray correctly. And understand that when we go to our Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus and bind something which you have prohibited already, have been already be bound in heaven, it will take place because of the prayer of faith that will save. Teach us concerning prayer for the future of the nation of South Africa is on the lips of a praying church, and we cannot afford to make mistakes in this. Help us therefore to have that exercise of authority and power of the body of Christ to submit and to resist, to have our right relationship with God, and to know and understand what God permits is what is right, and we can pray. It's allowed. We can loose. Unlock heaven's blessings. Thank you, Father, for this morning. Give us more intercessory insight as we go forward and help us to pray in these weeks that lie ahead now. We will pray until those voting polls, those voting stations, those voting boxes are closed. And then we'll give you praise in this building. We thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. God bless you. God willing, I'll see you tonight.
For more teachings like this and other material, please visit our website at www.littlefallsonline.com.